تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ثم أما بعد، I bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone in being worthy of worshipped and unconditionally obeyed, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final prophet and messenger. We ask Allah to send his peace and blessings upon him, the prophets and messengers that came before him, the companions and the family that were with him, and those that follow in his blessed path and their blessed path until the day of judgment. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, one of the things that we are learning as our American Muslim community in particular undergoes this evolution of moving into next generation and all of the things that come with living under increased pressure, living under the anxiety of Islamophobia, where it becomes so difficult to be Muslim, so difficult to deal with the norms, the social norms that are prevalent in the schools that our children may go to, prevalent in our own universities, prevalent in our workplaces, the things that happen in our social contexts, all of the difficulties that come. One of the things that we have learned about ourselves over and over and over again over these past few years is that we are not an exception. What do I mean by that? The things that ail society as a whole ail our community as well. The things that everybody in our society encounters, we too as a Muslim community encounter probably in equal proportion. Whether that be drug abuse, whether that be domestic abuse, whether that be fornication, adultery, whatever that may be, we have the same problems that everybody else has. And we like to think of ourselves as a community that is insulated, a community that is exceptional. And in some ways, alhamdulillah, we are exceptional. In some ways, as a community, we're one of the most generous communities that are out there. It's a community of service. We have things to celebrate as an American Muslim community. But in many other ways, especially when it comes to social norms, we are just as guilty of the same sins that are prevalent around us. And it's important for us to confront those sins within our communities, to confront them within our families, to confront them within ourselves, and to make sure that we do not justify this behavior as being normal, whatever that behavior may be. And we learn something from the pious predecessors that's quite profound, that when you see things around you that are taking place, things that have become normalized, that are disliked by your creator and disliked by you, or you know, things that do not match up with the moral standard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, when we see those things around us, what dua do we make? What do we ask Allah? Nas'al Allah al-afiyah. We ask Allah for protection. Before anything else, we ask Allah for protection. Protection for ourselves. Protection for our families. We do not pretend to be safe or to be excluded or to have complete power over our desires. We understand that we too could fall into these same things, into these same sins. And so we don't ever feel assured, though we certainly work on ourselves with vigilance to make sure that we don't fall into those traps. There's very powerful that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and when you think of Abu Hurairah, you think of the man who narrated the most narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man of righteousness, a man who gave us access to the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like no other companion, a righteous companion, a man that was beloved to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who served this deen. And people hear him making dua. And you know what dua he's making? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika, O Allah, I seek refuge in you, min as-sariqa, from being a thief, O az-zina. or from committing adultery. People look at Abu Huraira and say, really, you? You? Like, you're worried about adultery? You're worried about theft? You're worried about these things that are not befitting to any person of nobility? Do you think that Abu Huraira would ever fall into something like that? And what does he remind them? Look at where Shaytan was, and look at where he is now. Look at him. He worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hundreds and hundreds of years. And he was of those that were beloved to Allah and those that were close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look what happened to him. One fall led to an eternity of humiliation and disgrace. It took one trigger and him not responding to it the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided recourse for him that led to an eternity of humiliation and disgrace. So when we see things taking place around us, whatever they may be, the first thing we do is we ask Allah for protection. May Allah protect us from anything that would cause us to fall out of His favor, to abandon the high standards that He's placed upon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from oppression. The Prophet ﷺ used to seek refuge in Allah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. He used to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An azilla aw uzal. That I would cause someone to fall, or I would fall myself. Adhlima aw udhlam. That I would wrong someone, or I would myself be wronged. You know, all of these different things. He himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, felt afraid of these things. So we have to guard ourselves. And we have to confront these things within our communities. And within our front, within ourselves, and that is the topic of infidelity. That is the topic of cheating on one's spouse. It's a nasty disease. A disease that plagues our American society to a point that we're talking in the numbers of 60 to 70% of marriages would involve infidelity. And we would be foolish to think that our Muslim community is immune to that. That everyone is abiding by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that even we question ourselves, are abiding fully by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is it that most marriages in this country end up in infidelity? And no, don't sit there and be like, wow, America is really messed up. We should make hijrah then. We should migrate to the Muslim world because this certainly doesn't happen there. You're dreaming. Sins are globalized now. Social ills are globalized. Things that plague one society are bound to plague another society because of the access and the connection that all of those countries have to each other. So what is it that causes people to fall into such a disease and to fall into this darkness? And how do we protect ourselves and our homes from it? Obviously, in the next 12 or 13 or 14 minutes, I can't give everyone those tips. But it starts off with something. It starts off with a recognition that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us of prescriptions is good for us, no matter what. And we are not ashamed of those things. We're not embarrassed of those things. We're not ashamed of those things. What Allah has given us is for our own good. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, Adam and Eve, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ, do not go near that tree, Allah Azza wa Jal knows that that tree is not good for them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to save them from temptation. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather than saying, وَلَا تَزْنُوا, do not commit adultery, He says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, don't come anywhere near adultery. And so yes, rules and restrictions are placed upon us that are not typically observed in the workplace, not typically observed in our interactions today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us by forbidding for us khalwa, to be secluded with someone who is not mahram, someone who is amongst those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded to observe hijab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited us from being alone in seclusion with someone of the opposite gender. Counseling doesn't justify it. Online doesn't mean anything. There are no ways to get around it. Allah prohibited it for us. Allah prohibited khalwa for us. Prohibited that we be alone because no two people are alone of the opposite gender except that shaitan is the third. It's what the Prophet ﷺ said. We're not ashamed of that. It would be a protection for us. And we happily take that as a prescription from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect ourselves, even if we will be mocked for it. So yes, anytime you walk into the masjid and Sheikh Yasir is doing counseling, the door is open. And that's for our protection as people, as Muslims. We're not ashamed of that. We adopt that in all of our interactions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He legislates these things, when He legislates no khalwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what would come about of technology and what would come about of these different interactions. I want you to think about your communications. When you communicate with your coworker, when you communicate with your friend or whatever it may be, someone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal for you for marriage, when you are in communication with that person, would you be comfortable with other people observing that entire communication? You know, subhanAllah, now it's very easy for us to engage in these different types of things. Would you be comfortable or not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. And Allah knows what one thing could lead to. And so Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't come anywhere near adultery. And a lot of times when we think about don't come anywhere near adultery, we talk about it in the physical sense. It starts off with the physical, but it usually starts off emotional. It's usually emotional betrayal of your spouse. It's usually that you start to get attached to someone outside, and the whole realm of social media provides so much opportunity for you to feed that attachment shamelessly, sometimes without the other person even knowing. And you build that fantasy and that attachment. And when Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala talked about how shaitan can convert a passing thought to a settled thought, a fatra to a fikra. Once he gets it into your mind, he can entertain it. He can create illusion and fantasy. He can beautify it for you. And next thing you know, your language is getting more loose. And you need to learn to cut it off for your own good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts those restrictions. Do not let your emotional attachment to someone else start to lead to something else. And Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala said, and from the wisdoms of Allah's legislation, is that if you find yourself attached to a person, you should not be in the presence of that person, even if there is no khalwa, even if there is no seclusion. You should know that yourself. You should want to guard yourself from that, so that you don't start to develop more interaction, reduce your interaction to what is absolutely necessary. And don't abuse it. It's for your own good. And once you start to entertain these relationships, what shaitan does very well is he blocks out consequences of your actions. He intoxicates you with your sin. You don't think about the devastation that this will wreak, not only on your iman, not only on your faith, but on your family, on your entire life. You're not thinking anymore. You're not thinking straight because shaitan blocks out consequences. It's one of his easiest tricks when you're committing a sin. You start justifying behavior. You start blaming your spouse for not fulfilling you. And then you start to go further and further and further. And what does shaitan do best? Then you move on to justifications. Then you move on to at-tala'ub bid-deen, playing with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of those different ways that we abuse the text and exploit the deen so that we justify what is unjustifiable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Things that we are ashamed of from the people but we're not ashamed of in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, when he discussed the secret marriage, what Imam Malik rahimahullah said when he discussed it, he said it should be annulled. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah called it prostitution. What he said about it is very profound. He said, how could you not be ashamed, or how could you be ashamed of a relationship in the sight of the people but not in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It still fits the asr. And we start to take ourselves down these paths, and we start to ruin ourselves. And each and every single one of us has to know his behavior and know himself and cut things off before they go too far. You need to know yourself. Allah provided you protections. Do not allow for yourself to get sucked into the world of the internet. Those protections where home internet is connected for everybody in the house so everybody can see, it's not just for the children. It's for us too. It's for us too. Let your spouse see your communications. Let those things be made, or not just let them not be private to where things can get out of hand and get out of control. Keep your things open for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a point where you can at least care for yourself and take care of yourself. Don't let it go further. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. Allah says it's an evil وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, and it's a dark path. It leads to a dark road. Because once you get yourself in that, then what ends up happening? Deception, lies, more zina, more relationships. All sorts of shamelessness starts to happen once you delve into that world. And we have to be able to control ourselves and stop ourselves and not let those things go further. So when you look in your workplace, when you look in your friends, when you look at those relationships, dear brothers and sisters, right now, I want you to consider every relationship that you have. And I want you to ask yourself, would you be ashamed of it in the sight of the people? And if so, why are you not ashamed of it in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Stop yourself. Control yourself. Do not let it grow. Because it will be a dark path. And a person will never be able to get out of that once they start. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I want to remind everyone, Allah azza wa jalla says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Say, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah forgives all sins, but you have to turn back to Him. You have to repent. And a lot of times what ends up happening with these relationships, and you ask Shaykh Yasin, and you ask the imams that have to deal with this all the time, is that once a person delves into it, the same shaitan who was hiding from you the consequences of your actions is now exaggerating the consequences of your actions to you when you start thinking tawbah, when you start thinking repentance. You can't come back from this. So what do you have to do? You have to do more. You sink yourself deeper. Isn't that what Shaytan did with the monk from Bani Israel that we spoke about a couple of months ago? Isn't that what he always does with us? And there is something beautiful and sincere about those who came to the Prophet ﷺ, repenting for their deeds. And so what do you do if you're already in that situation? Cut it off, and if it's gone too far, start to make amends. Control yourself. Go to your spouse and tell your spouse that you messed up. And I'm ready to make it right. I'm not going to wait to be caught in this. I'm ready to make it right. What do I have to do? And if I have to face major consequences in this world for Allah to forgive me, because the main consideration is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me. That is the main consideration. You have a better chance now when you go to your spouse and tell your spouse, I messed up, I want to do better, and you cut off these things, before a person finds themselves already caught in a mess. Fix it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. Allah is forgiving. But we have to pursue that repentance ourselves. The second thing, dear brothers and sisters, is the Prophet ﷺ said, a believer is not stung in the same hole twice. If you messed up once with one because of something, because of some circumstances or whatever it is, you found weakness in one way, don't put yourself in the situation to keep getting stung and finding weakness in that same way over and over and over again. And the third thing that I'll leave you with is a dua. And I pray that each and every single one of us will analyze their relationships as they leave this gathering. The brothers and sisters who are not married and the brothers and sisters who are married. That you'll analyze your relationships and analyze what is permissible or what is not permissible about those relationships and stop things before they get out of hand. A dua from our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is very profound. And he was asked for a comprehensive dua, and he taught us this extremely comprehensive dua. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa al-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. اللهم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. Oh Allah, I ask you for guidance. But it's one thing to be guided in knowledge. الهداية في العلم والرشد في العمل. Guidance is in knowledge and then there is guidance in action. So it's one thing to be guided in knowledge. But sins corrupt our heart and they corrupt our mind and eventually corruption in our action could even corrupt our knowledge. So the Prophet ﷺ said, say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa tuqa. Ask Allah for taqwa, the ability to abandon sin, to stay protected from sin. Taqwa is literally to be shielded from sin, to be shielded from those things that would compromise you being on that path. And it's really interesting because in the du'as of the Prophet ﷺ, when he tells us to ask for guidance, he rarely only specifies guidance, but there's something else after the guidance to keep you on it. Allahumma ahdini wa saddidni. Oh Allah, guide me and keep me on that path of guidance. So he said, say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa tuqa. Because the scholars say that a lack of taqwa will eventually corrupt your hidayah as well. A lack of taqwa will lead to a lack of hidayah as well. It'll take you off the path as well. And then the second two, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa tuqa wal-afaf. Modesty, to be protected from fahisha, from sa'a sabila, that dark path, to be protected from wickedness, to be protected from those things. I ask you for protection, modesty, al-afaf wal-ghina, and to be self-sufficient. Why? When you look in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun, the top two things that usually lead to the corruption of an individual. Either money or zina. Or both. So al-afaf wal-ghina are things that we seek protection, that we seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as means of protection. To fail in one usually will lead to a failure in the other. Because once a person, if a person starts to feel poverty, and ghina is a feeling inside, a feeling of being sufficed. It's both physical and it's a feeling, because some people have a lot from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they're not feeling fulfilled. Some people, mashallah, they've got the American dream. They've got the spouse, the kids, the house, whatever they call the American dream. All right. Though I'm sure the American dream is always an evolution as well. But some people would have everything. You look on the outside, mashallah, a picture perfect life, but they're not fulfilled. They don't have ghina inside their hearts that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, to feel suffice. And when you don't have that, it usually will lead to a compromise of your modesty. So say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put those traits inside of us, protect us and protect our families from the scorn of zina, protect us from anything that would lead to us falling out of favor with him or lead to us to oppress his creation. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'ir al-muslimin fastaghfiru innahu al-ghafur rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين اللهم صلِّ وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, I repeat the game plan to you to reanalyze and reassess all of your relationships, to make sure that what you are doing is in accordance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you see yourself becoming attached to a person, to cut it off before it leads to something that would hurt you and hurt your family. And I ask all of you to memorize that dua and to mean that dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. Most comprehensive dua, or one of the most comprehensive duas that we have from our Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam, taught through his blessed guidance. And all of us make sure that we never allow shaitan to belittle the consequences of distancing ourselves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we commit an action, nor do we allow shaitan to convince us that the consequences of our actions bar us from coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once we recognize the crime or once we recognize the sins that we have committed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to never despair of His mercy. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for all of our sins, whatever they may be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our small sins and our big sins, for our public sins and for our private sins, for all of those things that would cause us humiliation in this world or in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and protect our families. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never allow us to feel distant from Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring each and every single one of us close to Him and guide us and keep us firm on the path of guidance and not allow anything of this dunya to distract us or to take us away from His guidance. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat innaka sami'un qareebun mujibu da'awat. Allahumma ighfir lana warhamna wa'fu 'anna wa la tu'adhibna. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Allahumma ansur ikhwanana almustada'afina fi masharik al ardi wa magharibiha. Allahumma ansur ikhwanana almustada'afina fi masharik al ardi wa magharibiha. Ibadullah, inna Allah ya'muru bil 'adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi. يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعماء يزد لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقيم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله